Well, please take out your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, and you can take out the notes that have been provided for you in your bulletin. We're going to be looking this morning at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20, verses 12 through 20. The title of my sermon this morning is, If Christ Has Not Been Raised, If Christ Has not been raised. And when you found 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12, please follow along with me as I read. It says, Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that on this Easter morning, there is an empty cross and an empty tomb in Jerusalem, and that at your right hand sits the slain Lamb of God who was beaten and nailed to a cross for our sins. And we thank you that 3 days later after he died, you raised him by the power of your Spirit from the dead so that death itself would be defeated and sin along with it. And we stand here today, Father, free from sin, free from Satan, free from death, and free from hell because Jesus is alive. Thank you and praise you. And help us this morning to grasp great truths from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, a couple of years ago, around Easter time, I was watching TV and I came across the show The View. How many of you ever seen that? They say, Pastor, what are you doing watching The View? I wouldn't admit that in public if I were you. I wasn't watching it really. I just happened to be flipping through and saw it. And I stopped for a minute because they were talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And they had some New Testament scholar on there who was denying the resurrection of Christ and so forth, and they were talking about that. And this was when Rosie O'Donnell was on the show, okay? And Rosie said, hey, maybe Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. Maybe the resurrection isn't talking about how Jesus' body came back to life again. Maybe the resurrection is just the idea that Jesus' teachings and his impact continue to live on. His body's dead, but his teachings continue to live on. Maybe that's what the resurrection is all about. And she might not have known it, but actually Rosie, was actually just repeating something that actually a whole group of theologians profess to believe. There's a group of theologians out there, get this, who call themselves Christian atheists. Christian atheists. Those are two words you don't normally see together, at least in that kind of way. And I read an article about them, and this article says that in terms of Christian atheists, they believe that Jesus, although they do not believe that he is divine, is still a central feature in their system of belief. Most Christian atheists think of Jesus as a wise and good man, accepting his moral teachings, but rejecting the idea of his divinity and, of course, of his resurrection. Christian atheists look to Jesus as an example of what Christians should be, but they do not see him as a God. There's a whole group of Christian atheists in the Netherlands. In fact, the Dutch church, about 1 in 6 pastors in the Dutch church in the Netherlands are atheists, self-proclaimed atheists. They don't believe there's a God, and they don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet, what's so intriguing about all of these examples is that they still, even though they deny the resurrection, even though they deny that there's a God, they still want to call themselves Christians and still want to live the Christian life, which really raises the question that we have in this passage before us this morning. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then is it really worth it to live the Christian life? If Christ has not been raised from the dead, why desire to go on living the Christian life according to his moral teachings? If Christ has not been raised from the dead, is it really worth it to do that? In this passage of Scripture that we find ourselves in this morning, Paul gives us a resounding no to the answer to that question. If Christ has not been raised, it is not worth it to live the Christian life. And we're going to see that in three different ways this morning. First of all, jumping right into the text this morning, we find in this passage that if Christ has not been raised, then we as Christians are wasting our time. If Christ has not been raised, we as Christians are wasting our time. He says this in verses 14 through 16. This is a unique passage of Scripture because Paul is making an argument for the consequences if Jesus hasn't been raised, the consequences of that idea and of that concept. And the first thing he tells us in terms of the consequences of the idea of Jesus not having been raised is that if he hasn't been raised, we're wasting our time. Notice verses 14 and following. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's empty. And your faith is in vain." Now in verses 12 and 13, Paul gives us a little bit of background about the situation in Corinth. There was a group of Christians in the church at Corinth that were beginning to deny not just Christ's resurrection, but the idea of a resurrection, period. They just were denying the fact that there was such thing as a resurrection from the dead. And so by extension, if they didn't believe that there was any resurrection from the dead, that no one was going to be raised, and that also means that Christ hasn't been raised either. Notice verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Now Paul is really just continuing an argument that he began at the beginning of chapter 15 in this book. Notice chapter 15, verse 1 with me. Paul, in verses 1 through 11, lays out the central message of the gospel and says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Here it is. "That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." That's what we celebrated on Friday. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And then verse 4, "That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12 and then appeared to many more." He goes on, and in these verses he's saying that the central message of the gospel is not just Christ's death on the cross. The central message of the gospel includes both Christ's death on the cross for our sins and Christ's resurrection from the dead in terms of victory over both sin and death. That is the central message of the gospel. So in other words, when he gets to verse 12 and he starts dealing with these Corinthians' denial of the resurrection, what he is saying is, if you deny the resurrection of Jesus, then you're denying the gospel. And if you deny the gospel, then you're denying Christianity altogether. Christianity is nothing if not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ's bones are still in the grave somewhere, then we all need to be at the lake this morning, not at church. Amen? It's not worth it. This is what Paul is saying. He says, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain if Christ has not been raised from the dead. In other words, Paul says, I'm wasting my time preaching to you. I'm wasting my breath teaching you the gospel if Jesus is still dead. And you're wasting your time believing the message of the gospel if Jesus is still dead and if he has not been raised. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to waste time. I'm one of those people that just doesn't like to waste time. Have you ever done something in your life that took a lot of time and then you get to the end of it and you realize that you did it all wrong and it was all for nothing? I remember in seminary, one of the courses that I took, they had us read several books. One of them was 500 pages long. And this was a book in a series of about three volumes. And we were supposed to read volume 2, and I spent a lot of time reading volume 1. And I read the whole book, 500 pages, got into class the day that we were supposed to discuss this book, and I realized the day that we came to class that I'd read the wrong book. And I'd read 500 pages of the wrong book, and I'm a pretty slow reader, so that meant I had wasted hours and hours and hours reading the wrong book all for nothing. I hate to waste time like that. And what Paul is saying is that if you believe in Christ and you spend your life following after Christ, that if he has not been raised from the dead, you have wasted your entire life. You have wasted all your energy and effort that you've put into believing in Jesus. You've wasted all the time that you've spent serving little kids and teaching them the verses of Scripture about Jesus. If Jesus is dead, then all of that is vain, Paul says. If Jesus has not been raised, then you have believed in vain, and I am preaching in vain. But not only that, Paul doesn't just say that if Jesus has not been raised, that we're wasting time. Paul also goes on to say, one step further, that if Jesus has not been raised, we're actually doing people harm by preaching Jesus. We are lying to them and deceiving them. Notice what he says in verse 15. Paul says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, lying about God. That's blasphemy, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. Paul says if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, not only are we wasting time, we're actually doing people harm by telling them to base their entire life on something that's a lie if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. Paul is saying that if Christ has not been raised, we are totally wasting our time. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time. So this is one of the arguments that he makes. Now, the second thing that Paul comes to in this passage, the second consequence of a denial of the resurrection, is that if Christ has not been raised, we are still in our sins. If Christ has not been raised, not only are we wasting time, but if Christ has not been raised, we are still in our sins. Notice with me again verse 17. Paul says, and if Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. You say, well, now why is that? I thought Jesus' death is what gave us forgiveness of sins. Why is it that Paul is saying that if you deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and if Christ has not been raised, that you are still in your sins? I thought that's what Jesus' death took care of for us. Well, what Paul is pointing to is that all throughout the New Testament, there is a link, a strong connection between death and between Christ's death for our sins and his resurrection. There's a connection, if you think about it, all throughout the Bible, between sin and death. I mean, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord says, when you eat of this forbidden fruit and you disobey me and you sin, the day that you eat of it, you will die. As we go throughout the Scriptures, what we find is that sin always leads to death. Paul says this in Romans 6, verse 23. He says that the wages or payment for sin is death. Death is connected to sin. And so what it means then that if Christ has not been raised from the dead is that Christ has not defeated death. And if Christ has not defeated death, then Christ has not defeated sin, which is the payment for death is the payment for sin. So if Christ has not been raised, then we're still in our sins. We still have the same problem of death, and we still have the same problem of sin. That problem has not been solved. Paul says this and later on in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57. He says, the sting of death is sin. There's a link between death and sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. How did Jesus defeat both death and sin? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ's resurrection, he defeats death. And through his resurrection, he defeats sin, which always leads to death. Now, Paul was aware, and so were these Corinthians, that they had been forgiven so much sin because of Christ's death and resurrection. Back earlier in this book, you can flip over to 1 Corinthians 6 and look with me at verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. You see, these Corinthians in this church, they were huge sinners before they came to know Christ. And they were still stumbling in sin, as the book shows us. He writes to them about many of the sins that they're still struggling with. But they were huge. They were just pagans. They were just sinners. They were lost as lost can be before they met Jesus and before they heard the gospel through the preaching of Paul. And notice what Paul says about that in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. He says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then notice verse 11. And such were some of you. You were in those sins. You were involved in those sins. And if Paul were here today, he could look out upon this congregation and say the exact same thing. Such were some of you. But then notice what he says. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now here's the deal. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, Paul couldn't make that claim. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, those who had once done those things would still be doing those things and would still be dead in those sins. There would be no way out. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, there would be no verse 11, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Instead, if Christ had not been raised, all Paul could say to them is you're still in your sins. But they knew that they had found hope in Jesus Christ, and it's because Christ had been raised that they were able to say, I was once this way, but I am no longer this way because I've been washed by the blood of the risen Jesus Christ. You see, sin is our great enemy. And if Christ couldn't defeat death, then what makes you think that he could defeat sin? If Christ hadn't raised from the dead, he's powerless before our enemy. One of Weston's, my son, he's 3 now, he just turned 3 a week ago, and one of his favorite things to do is to wrestle with me. He loves to wrestle with Dad. And so every day he says, Dad, can we wrestle? Can we wrestle? And he loves Spider-Man. And normally when we wrestle, he's Spider-Man and I'm Dr. Doom. All right? And that's how we do it. That's how we wrestle. And man, I just let him wail on me, right? He'll go over and run 20 yards and just run into me as hard as possible and hit me and pull my hair and do all kinds. Anything goes, right? Anything goes when you're wrestling with him. But you know what? Most of the time, on most days, I can take a 3-year-old. Right? I mean, I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but most days I can take a 3-year-old. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, if he wasn't shown to be powerful over our biggest enemy, then he's just as powerless as a 3-year-old. Before our enemy of Satan, sin, and death. What does the resurrection show? The resurrection shows that Jesus has power over death. That Jesus has power over sin. He's not some powerless little child trembling at the giant of Satan, sin, death, and hell. He is the Lord of glory, and he rose from the dead to display his power over our biggest enemies. If he hadn't raised from the dead, he would be powerless. He would not be able to rescue us from our enemy. We would still be, as Paul says in verse 17, we would still be in our sins. We would still be dead in our trespasses and sins, and without any hope in the world. And I'm convinced that this is that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you. I'm convinced, at least I can speak for myself and say that applies to me. And I know that applies to you too. I know that some of you, maybe in this room this morning, were former adulterers. And I'm telling you that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, you would still be guilty of adultery. Some of you in this room maybe were former gossips and slanderers. And Paul is saying that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, you would still be stuck in the guilt of the sin of gossip and slander. Some of you in here today, maybe, were former drug addicts. And if Christ had not been raised from the dead to show himself powerful over all sin and over death itself, you would still be dead in your sins and guilty of your sin of drug addiction. Some of you, maybe, were former pornography addicts. And if Christ had not been raised from the dead, where would you be? You would still be in the state of guiltiness before God for the sins of lust and perversion if Christ had not been raised from the dead. Some of you maybe were formerly abusive to your spouse. And if Christ had not been raised, you would still be guilty of spousal abuse. Some of you maybe were former liars. You couldn't tell the truth if your life depended on it. You tell lies just to get out of your lies. And then you forget about the lies you've told. And if Christ had not been raised from the dead, Paul is saying you would still be before God just as guilty as ever of lying. But, Paul says, if Christ has been raised, then you, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, can say, I was once all of those things. I was those things, but now I have been washed. I have been sanctified, made holy. I have been justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of my God. If Christ had not been raised, we would still be in our sins, but praise be to God, he has been raised, and we are in our sins no longer, because death and sin were defeated when Christ was raised from the dead. This is what's at stake in the resurrection of Christ. If Christ had not been raised, we'd still be in our sins. And then the third thing that Paul tells us in terms of the consequence of denying the resurrection of Jesus is that if Christ has not been raised, there's no life after death. If Christ has not been raised, then there's no life after death. Look at verses 18 and 19 with me. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, they've perished. Now, Paul loves to use this phrase to refer to the death of Christians. He loves to talk about Christians as those who have fallen asleep in Christ. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, in this chapter, he says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And by the way, that's later on in chapter 15. That's a great verse, I think, for our nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. At least my kids seem to abide by that. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound, and Jesus will come back for his bride. We shall not all sleep. Sleep. He talks about death for the Christian as sleep. Why? Because sleep is supposed to be temporary. Sleep is not supposed to last forever. And what he's saying here, though, is that if Christ has not been raised, then a Christian is not just asleep. A Christian has perished. Verse 18. If Christ has not been raised, then what makes you think you'll be raised? If Christ has not been raised, then there is no hope of resurrection for you. If there wasn't hope of resurrection for the very Son of God, if he couldn't be raised, then you can't be raised either. And if he has no life after death, then you and I have no hope of life after death either. If Christ has not been raised, there's no life after death. I mean, the only hope that we have as Christians is the kind of hope that Paul sums up in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, which says, for this light momentary affliction in this life is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Isn't it those kind of verses that give you hope as a Christian? But if Christ has not been raised, you don't have that hope. You don't have that hope of a better life later. You have to only try to get your best life now. And in verse 19, what he says, to sum it all up as a conclusion, is that if Christ has not been raised, then in Christ, he says in verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, in other words, if there's no hope for life after death, then he says, then we are of all people, we as Christians, we are of all people most to be pitied. Why is that? If Christ has not been raised, Paul says in verse 19, and all we have is hope for this life only and no hope for resurrection and life hereafter in the life to come, then we are of all people most to be pitied. People should pity Christians if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Why? Because the call to be a Christian is a call to sacrifice. I mean, Jesus said to his disciples, you want to follow after me? Take up your cross and follow after me. And if there's no resurrection after the cross, then the cross is not worth it. And Paul is saying, if all you're going to do throughout this life, if all you have is this life, and you spend 60, 70, 80 years carrying a cross, and there's no hope for resurrection, then there's no point in carrying the cross. You're of all people most to be pitied. You're wasting your life serving when you should be eating and drinking and being merry, for tomorrow you shall die. If there's no life after death, Paul says we're most to be pitied. I mean, one of the greatest motivating factors for me and for every Christian, hopefully, is the hope that one day we will have a heavenly reward after this life. I mean, that one day these, as Paul says, light, momentary afflictions will give way to an eternal weight of glory that will far outshine anything we've given up here in this life for Jesus. That's going to make it all worth it. I mean, even Jesus himself, Hebrews says, it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. As Jesus was going to the cross, what helped him get through? Seeing the resurrection, seeing that there would be an exaltation, seeing that there would be life after death. That's what gave him the endurance to make it through the cross. And the same is true for us. What gets us through is the fact that we believe that it's possible for us to lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. I mean, you take that away, and you take away everything for the Christian. You take away it all. I mean, think about it this way. If there's no reward for something that you have to work real hard for, there tends to be a lack of motivation, right? What if your boss tomorrow You go into work, he sits you down, and he says, you know what? What we've decided to do, we've been needing to make some cuts here around the business, and what we've decided to do is just not pay you for your work this year. We're just not going to pay you. You're going to work. You're going to continue to work. But we're just not going to pay you anymore. Okay, then I don't want to work here anymore, right? Why? You're not going to work if there's no reward for your work. And this is exactly what Paul is saying. If there is no heavenly reward, then why work at following after Christ? You say, well, I know being a Christian was any work. Then you didn't know what it means to be a Christian. You're living something else. You're living some other kind of life. Christianity is work. We strive after following Christ. It's hard to deny ourselves our sinful desires. It's hard to put others before ourselves. It's hard to carry a cross. And if there's no resurrection and no reward, then don't even worry about doing it. We're of all people most to be pitied. A number of years ago, actually it was just about 4 or 5 years ago, I had a best friend growing up through childhood from third grade on through college. And 4 or 5 years ago, his parents came into his bedroom. He was only in his early 20s and found him dead in his bedroom. And I was one of the first people that they called. And as soon as I heard that, I'm not bragging, this is the grace of God. But as soon as I heard that, my mind immediately went to 1 Corinthians 15. Specifically, the passage that the choir sang earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55. Look at that. This is where my mind went when I heard about my best friend's death. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. And here's the passage I alluded to earlier. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I mean, when a Christian hears of a loved one, or a spouse, or a friend that dies, where would we be if there was no hope for this? Where would we be if there was no hope that one day death will be swallowed up in victory? That one day the sting of death will be taken away because Jesus has taken it away by rising from the dead himself and then promising that all who follow him will also rise from the dead in the very same way that he rose from the dead. Where would we be without that hope? Nowhere. Where, I'll tell you where we would be. We would be, of all people, most to be pitied. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, there's no life after death. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then a Christian funeral would be the saddest thing on earth. It'd be the saddest thing on earth. Because this would be a person who lived their whole life working for something without any reward whatsoever. But then there's good news. There's good news in verse 20. Notice the fourth thing that we find in this passage. And lastly, Paul gives a big but here. He says, but if Christ has been raised, if Christ has been raised, then following Christ, it's worth it. If Christ has been raised, then following Christ is worth it. Notice verse 20. But, aren't you glad for that little word there? But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits, that means all of us are going to come next, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He says, in other words, the nightmare of verses 12 through 19, if Christ had not been raised, then here's what it would be like. That nightmare is not true because Christ has been raised. If Christ has been raised, then we're not wasting our time this morning or any other day that we live for Jesus. And I'm not wasting my time preaching, and you're not wasting your time believing. If Christ has been raised, then we're not still in our sins. We have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ has been raised, then there is life after death. And there is the hope of a reward for the toil and labor that it takes to follow after Jesus in this present life. If Christ has not been raised, then as Paul says in this very chapter, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you're just going to die. And that's it. But because Christ has been raised, take up your cross and follow him because it's worth it. It's worth it because he has risen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that Christ has been raised. We're not left in our sins. We're not left living an empty, vain, pointless waste of a life. And we're not left with no hope of resurrection and life after death. Instead, Father, because Christ has been raised, it's worth it to follow you. We're not wasting our time. We're not still in our sins. We've been forgiven. And Father, we do have the hope of everlasting life, of an eternal weight of glory that will far outshine any of the toil and any of the striving and any of the crosses that we have to bear as a follower of Jesus in this life. Oh God, help us to see the resurrection of Jesus means everything for us. Help us to see that the resurrection of Jesus means it's worth it to follow Jesus. Father, if there is someone in this room today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that I pray, God, that you would help them to see that they are still in their sins and all the great things that are true for us because of Christ's resurrection are not true for them as long as they refuse to repent and believe. Father, I pray that if someone is lost today, that they would repent of their sins, ask for forgiveness, receive it freely as a free gift, and put their faith in Jesus and help them to be assured that they will not be wasting their lives following him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.